imitation of life. Satan imitates life. And as you know, this ticks me off. Hello, everyone. Martin Zunder coming to you from the laundry room of my home here at Southwest 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. In fact, this isn't only the laundry room of my home. The laundry room is my home temporarily. But it might be my room permanently. I'm working it out. I might get a little discount for being in the laundry room here. I think that's the washer here and the dryer be up there. And let me show you my bed here because I know everybody's fascinated. I have a fold-out bed. There it is. It's folded up right now. That's my little desk over there. And it's very cozy, tiny place. But you know me, I thrive in that kind of situation. I like to see how little I could get by with, not how much. I would be making these shows with my top-notch microphone and my top-notch camera, but I have no place to really work it. I've been a little bit upended. A wonderful person did move into my room temporarily for a couple of weeks. I'm going to get better situated. I tried to get up to Waylon Dabbs to make a show, but he has sickness in the family, and he and his family are out of town, so I can't get up there to Coral Springs. That's what I was going to do. In the meantime, we make do with what we have. And I've been really blessed here. So your prayers are answered. God has sent me to a really loving place, a nice place, an accommodating place. And I am very happy sleeping here in the laundry room. And it might be we're going to put up some drapes here. You see, you got open windows right there. And there's some windows over there. Look at the ceiling. Pretty nice. You got some wood, real wood up there, I think. That looks real to me. But what do I know? Not much about that kind of thing. So I'm sorry there was no show yesterday. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make excuses for it. I'm just going to go on with the truth, which means you're going to get Thursday's show today, which is Friday for you, and you're going to get Friday's show on Saturday. So there's a bright side. On Saturday, you usually don't hear from me, and you must be sad when you don't hear from me, but tomorrow, on Saturday, you're going to hear from me. God has a perfect image. And that perfect image is his son. People get upset at this. I'm sorry what I'm about to tell you, but we will never see God, even when we're changed. I believe we will never see God because God is absolutely invisible. Jesus Christ is his perfect image. And he not only had life, but he imparted that life to other people. The second wild beast is going to do a miracle where it looks like he's imparting life. That's why I said from my car the other day that I don't believe it's, and if somebody might disagree with me here, they're welcome to. I don't believe it's any more of an impartation of life than the Wizard of Oz apparition in the movie The Wizard of Oz. Life and spirit go hand in hand. It's a shame that the King James will say that this life is in the soul. But it's not. The soul is in the blood. It's the life and the spirit that are together. If you're talking spirit, you're talking life. If you're talking life, you're talking spirit. No one has ever created life in a test tube. And I dare say that the second wild beast will not create life even in a miracle. It will be miraculous in that it will be such a close imitation of life. That's what I believe. It will look like life. The image that is speaking will be a really, really great trick. And it's going to look like life, but it won't be. So our eyes cannot see God. Don't be discouraged because Jesus Christ is everything God is. That's why he's called the perfect image. And this image does not consist in his frame, in the way he looks. The image of God, Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean God looks like Jesus, as if we know what Jesus looks like. We don't. We know that there's a false image of Jesus, a very popular image of Jesus, a handsome man who all the chicks go for. That's not what Jesus looked like. And we're not talking about looks here. We're talking about the character of God. Now, spirit gives life. A lack of spirit brings death. When people die, the spirit is taken away from them. A lack of life not only leads to death when the entire spirit is removed, but when people have a little tiny bit of spirit, that leads to lawlessness and sin. That's why the difference between you and other people is the measure of the spirit. Romans 12:3, God parts to each the measure of faith. So it's not that the Spirit is different. The same quality of Spirit inhabited Adolf Hitler as inhabits you and me. The same quality. It's the quantity that makes the difference. That's why Scripture says of Jesus Christ, the Spirit was in him without measure. So God is fully exhibited to the realm of human apprehension by Jesus Christ. And we know the love of God by the laying down of Jesus Christ's life. And he also had the authority to take it up again. God roused him from the dead. Christ raised himself. And of course, his Spirit was vivified. So this is the equivalency. To give Spirit, or appear to give Spirit, to the image of the wild beast is the equivalent of giving it life. But I don't think that Spirit is actually given it. I think it's a saccharinated spirit. Saccharin isn't sugar, is it? Sucralose isn't sugar. Splenda isn't sugar. It's a sugar substitute. We call it artificial sweetener. So in a way, it's a sweetener. So something called Spirit, something called life is going to be given to this image. But it can't be that. It just can't be. It can't be. So look at the records of what Jesus Christ gives life. He talks. He says things. Now concerning this wild beast, it speaks miraculous, blasphemous things. Let's go back to the passage. We're going to move on. After this, we're talking about the mark of the wild beast. And I believe I'm going to be getting that to you tomorrow, Saturday, which is Friday's show. But it gives Spirit to the image of the wild beast, that the image of the wild beast should be talking also and should be causing that whoever should not be worshiping the image may be killed. It's talking. We don't have a record what it says. And I think the reason we don't have a record what it says is because this is being portrayed as evil, evil, evil. But the interesting thing is, and this would give away the secret of lawlessness, if there was a record of what blasphemies the image speaks. The Wizard of Oz, what did it say? Bring me the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West. Well, this image also speaks, but it's going to be glib, light, fair. It is going to sound so agreeable to human beings, but again, it's going to be the epitome of evil. That's why it's not recorded in the unveiling what the image of the wild beast speaks when this image shows up, like the great head of the great eyes, because it's not going to be scary, for one thing. Again, we're looking at the obvious versus the subtle. The Wizard of Oz purposely made people scared of him. He had the fires coming out from both sides of him. And he had fangs for teeth. And he had a head that looked like a 125-watt light bulb. And he had an intimidating voice. Take everything there and it's the opposite. The voice of the image of the lawless one, the man of lawlessness, will be like a 20-watt bulb, or one of those red bulbs you use for sex, you know. You have one of those red-tinted bulbs. You maybe buy one at an old sex store somewhere, and you screw that in there before you, oh, never mind. Anyway, it's going to be an agreeable light, and there's not going to, when the beast talks, it won't be accompanied by fire. The fire comes as a miracle. The fire comes not to consume people, but the fire comes to impress people. Remember, the wild beast calls down fire to impress people. No, it's the witnesses that call down fire. Both parties are calling down fire, one to impress, one to kill. That's right. And I challenge you, we'll get into this when we get the unveiling chapter 20, but whenever you see fire in the unveiling, it's generally literal. That's why when we get to the lake of fire, it's important, I think, to be consistent there. So Jesus says, I am saying to you, be roused. He said that to Jairus' daughter when he raised her from the dead. I say to you, be roused. And his word itself, his word proved stronger than death. Even when he spoke in the Garden of Gethsemane to those who would arrest him, who is it that you seek? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. That simple word, they fell backwards. So to appreciate the contrast between the true image, which speaks words of life, Jesus Christ, and the false image, you have to appreciate the affection that, say, Jairus had for his daughter and the joy that was brought to his heart when Jesus Christ raised his daughter. Those are words of life and words of spirit. What a contrast it is when Satan speaks to his worshipers. It always goes bad. It's always going to go bad. I'm going to get into politics for a second here. It's just like socialism. It sounds good. The promises are made. We're going to bring equality to everyone, whether you want to call it socialism or progressivism or communism. It's all the same. It's at different stages. The promise everybody goes for. We're going to make everyone equal. We're going to give opportunity to all. We're going to take away favoritism. We're going to punish those who are wealthy. But the object of that always leads the same. Look at the textbook of history. The people who get rich are the ones who enact the laws. The higher ups, the ruling class. And they always take the money from the poor class. And it always leads to tyranny, to bondage, to a loss of freedom. Likewise, religion. Religion purports to give you freedom, purports to give you life. But in the end, this is what it leads to. The wild beasts believe or die. In fact, that's their God. They believe in a believe or die God. And it might work for you for a while if you love the doctrine of eternal torment, but it doesn't work in the long run. It leads to death. It does not implant joy. This message, the words of the wild beast, whoever doesn't hear this, whoever doesn't worship the wild beast, will be killed. There's not much difference from that and the message today that's going out from the same religious camps that will be running the wild beast. Believe in God or die. What's the difference? The wild beast says, or the false prophet says, of the wild beast, worship the image or die. Christians say, worship our image of God or die. Die for eternity. The wild beast doesn't even do that. You just die. It just says they'll be killed. Whoever should not be worshiping the image of the wild beast may be killed. But the God of Christendom does worse than that. It tortures for eternity in flames of fire. And it comes to that sick conclusion by a mistranslation of Scripture, which we've all been through that before. This inspires fear. Worship or else. What did Jesus say? Come to me, whoever is hungering, whoever is thirsting, come to me and I will give you drink. It was, relatively speaking, a choice. We know that God is operating all things after the counsel of his own will, but it was presented as come to me. Not so here. You're forced to come. Worship or else, just like Nebuchadnezzar. And again, I see not much difference with the Christian message. Come to the altar call. Or if you get killed on the way home, you will die for eternity and stay dead. You won't just get killed, if only. It's worse than that. And it has the power to kill. See, the Christian message is fake. Crapola with a capital K. This is real. Because people are going to die in this state for not worshiping the image of the wild beast. This is what Daniel calls the desolating detestation. Try that one. A desolating detestation, I dare you. In Matthew 24:15. Serious business coming up here. We're exposing the future. We are coming to understand the future. And I am presenting you the contrast between Jesus Christ and the lawless one. You think, well, duh, this is a no-brainer. But it's not a no-brainer because some people are going to think that the lawless one is Jesus Christ because of the secret of lawlessness, which I will continue to tell you about, is that lawlessness, for now, is disguised in a package of righteousness, and Satan is disguised as a messenger of light. Don't believe.